is faith important? From that introduction again, you see that God wants us as believers to have living faith in Him, so that we can grow and progress in our relationship with Him, as this is a vital part of our work with Him. Do you realize that? They said Jesus went to His hometown and couldn't do much works. Do you realize? Was He not Jesus? Was there another person? It was the anointed one. That is, he's even anointing person. But He was limited in His hometown. Why was He limited? Is it that He did not pray and fast enough? Is it that He prayed in other cities and did not pray enough in His city? So why was Jesus? Why couldn't He do much works in His home? Okay, I think that one will make us get the message clearer. So John, help us. Stand up and help us. Give her the mic. Okay.
Praise the Lord. I said He couldn't do much work there because of their unbelief.
Okay, Jesus couldn't do much work there because of their
unbelief. That's lack of faith in Him.
Okay, can somebody help us again? The answer is simple, but let's flow.
Like the first question you asked us. Why does God want us to have faith? This was the problem Jesus had with them. They did not have faith in Him. The belief system was not there, because the Bible said, he who must come must first believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And even in that Luke 18, verse 7 and 8, Jesus Christ also said something. He said, when the Son of Man called, did He still find faith in you? And so, there was no faith that in Jesus Christ that He would be able to do these miracles or these wonders. That was why He could not do anything there, because nobody had faith in Him, nobody believed.
So the answer is to say that Jesus couldn't do much work there because the people didn't have faith, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, can we journey to Matthew 13 verse 58? Please, I'd like you to be fast to Bible searching. Today I was praying for someone that is in a, someone that is very well to do. While I was praying for her, I asked her to look for to open the book of James, and the woman was journeying for a long time, and she finally asked me if James is after Psalms. Okay, after Joshua. You say it's James after Joshua. I said no, James is before Revelation. She kept searching, like until I navigated her to the exact place where James is. But this is a person that is on money. That is on money. So I think that the message from that matter is that you can have money without Jesus. Are you getting me? You don't need Jesus to have money. You don't understand me. That is for those that came to the kingdom so that they will get money through Jesus. You don't need Jesus to get money. You're not getting me. Eh? You're not getting me. I know when I go out of order, but I'm in order. I'm telling you that you don't need Jesus to make money. You can make money without Him. There are more significant things that you need Jesus for. I don't know if you're getting me. You can trust Him for whatever you need in life. But when I say you don't need Jesus to make money, it means that even without Jesus, you can still make money. The richest man now on earth, Elon Musk, if you put the second richest and third richest together, Jeff Bezos and the other one, if you put Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates together, add their wealth together, Elon Musk is still richer than them. By over $50 billion. Elon Musk. The one that is tired of Earth, that wants to run to Mars, that visited Mars, he's tired of Earth. He's spending billions of dollars into research for going to Mars. The Elon Musk I'm talking about, the man does not, he does not have the person of Jesus. Elon Musk does not have him. Gates does not have Jesus. Warren Buffett does not have Jesus. By joining you through the Forbes list of richest men on earth, are we together? Huh? If I journey you through Forbes list of richest men, if I take you through the first 15 men or 20 men, you will not find anyone that is a believer in Christ. So when a faith preacher tells us that without Jesus you die poor, he is joking. You don't understand me. I say when a faith preacher charges you and tells you that without Jesus you will die poor, he's joking. He just tried to encourage you to receive Jesus. But the statement is not accurate. The statement is not accurate. Mark Zuckerberg is the president of the world. I hope you know he's the president of the world. The man that had the power to shut down President Trump away from Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg. That is more powerful now than the American president. You're not aware. Mark Zuckerberg can decide to pursue American president from Facebook. And when a president uses social media, it will be as though he's in an isolated world, because social media is becoming like the real world. Mark Zuckerberg, Mark, that young boy, he does not have Jesus. And there are many ministries that need Facebook to survive. And Mark can shut down Facebook if he wants. Is a company. I don't know if you're getting me. Why I'm saying this is that for me to say you don't need Jesus to make money, the context is that, can you give me a little volume? The context of that statement is that without Jesus you can make money. You just came now. You didn't listen from when I started. So that is for people whose attendance to church or to the Christian ministry is because of material gains. There are some other religions that can even expose you to more faster ways of getting money, even without you knowing Christ. So what is the essence of knowing Christ then? Let's not talk about the matter. What is the essence of knowing Christ? The essence of knowing Christ is what we have been de-emphasizing in our generation. We don't make emphasis on it. A woman today from somewhere wrote a message to me and asked me, "Man of God, please, can a good Muslim go to heaven?" She asked me the question. So I didn't have strength to type. I had to call her on phone. And I told her that the truth is that no matter how good the Muslim is, no matter how good the Hindu is, no matter how good the traditionalist is, he can't make heaven without Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. I told us that in Revelation, the books were open. Many people found the book of works. Then another book was open, which is called the book of life. And whosoever was not found written was cast into the lake of fire. The book of what? Eternal life. So, the thing is that, what do you actually need Jesus for? It transcends beyond material gain. Are we together? Now, from what I've said, it does not mean that Jesus cannot provide for you. It does not mean that he can't help you to achieve things in life, even material things. Are you getting me? But the context of my statement is that even without Jesus, a man can receive material gains. If you're with me, let me hear you say amen. I didn't hear that amen. God said to man, dominate the earth, have dominion over it, subdue. Hello? Is it the word God told man? He said earth. Last time I heard, any science student will tell you that the sun is over 33,000 times bigger than earth. Not 1,000, not 2,000. The son you're seeing. It's about 33,000 times bigger than earth. Where God asks man to take dominion is over earth. Replenish the earth. Have dominion. Dwell in it. So man is running away now from earth. Man wants to go to Mars. So Elon Musk has made enough money that earth does not contain him again. He wants to run away from earth. And Elon Musk does not pray in tongues. Elon Musk does not have the Holy Ghost. Elon Musk has not done altar call. If you go to Elon Musk and preach Jesus, you ask him who is Jesus. And you are telling me that that is the faith preacher, is telling him that without Jesus you will die poor. That is materially poor. That statement is not in alignment. It's been a good intention to encourage people to serve God. Are you getting me? But the Jesus we're introducing to our generation is not the Jehovah Sharp Sharp Jesus. You know Jehovah Sharp Sharp in Lagos? Yes. Jehovah Sharp Sharp. It's close to my wife's house in Lagos. Jehovah Sharp Sharp. Just come, let him do Sharp Sharp for you. Come, you want to marry Jesus? Sharp Sharp, Sharp Sharp. Everything is Sharp Sharp. Whatever you need is Sharp Sharp. But our faith transcends beyond that which the eyes can see. Amen? I'm always tempted when I'm giving a manual like this. I'm always tempted to go out of my scheme of work. So what's that question I asked there again? Huh? Why is faith vital? Okay. Why is faith vital in the Christian world? In summarizing that thing I began to touch as I started, that a man that is part of God's kingdom denounces the faith, backslides. It does not mean the person is no longer going to make it in life. The person can even make it 1,000,000 times better than you in terms of material acquisitions. But yet, the poor in spirit is the spiritual that is more emphatic. Our emphasis is on the spiritual. Are we together? We are spiritual people. Our faith is a spiritual work. Why is faith vital for the Christian world? I said it should open to Matthew 13:58. If you are there, say amen. Okay. Look at Matthew 18:56-58. And his sisters. Okay, I read 55-58. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James, Joseph, that's Joseph, Simon and Judas? Are you seeing Jesus had four brothers? Are you seeing the name of his brothers? Then and his sisters, are they not all with us? You know, they didn't mention the name of his sisters because the Jewish tradition is gender sensitive. In the Orientals, they are gender sensitive. You hear of Cain and Abel, but you wouldn't hear of any daughter of Adam and Eve. They are gender sensitive. So in the orientation of the Jews, they don't render women as anything. That's why Paul said, let the women keep silent in their churches. And Paul was speaking out of a tradition that has been passed over to the Jews. You see this thing that Muslims, when they want to pray, they will keep women in another place. Women don't pray in the same temple, in the same mosque with men. They learned it from the Jews. In the temple, women stay aside. Women are not given any distinct, any sensitive position. Because they feel that women can easily be manipulated. Even Paul, who was Paul writing to Timothy, yes, he said, Adam, the man was not deceived, the woman. So Adam was not deceived. Adam knew that thing he was going to eat. He knew the consequences, he still ate it. It was Eve that was deceived. Adam just wanted him and his wife to be in the same estate. So, they didn't mention the names of Jesus' sisters. They mentioned his brothers. How many of his brothers did you see? James, Joseph, Simon, and who? Judas. So, they mentioned four of the brothers of Jesus. They didn't mention his sisters. So, that's to make a clarity for those that say Jesus didn't have brothers and sisters. He had four brothers and many sisters. Mary gave birth to others. So, Mary did not remain virgin forever. Are we together? Blessed Mary did not remember him forever. It's a message for some people. That's by the way. 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things? 57. And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. 58. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, that brings us to our subject on faith. What is the essence of faith? Why is faith needed? You see, if I begin to journey you through scriptures, you will see the reality that you actually need what they call faith. Faith. The writer of Hebrews defined faith as a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is the opposite of sight. That's physical sight. Faith is the core opposite of sight. It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You have not seen it, but there is an evidence in your heart that you have it. That you don't need to see to believe. And that is the standard God has put for every seeker. Everyone that seeks him must seek him in faith. You don't need to be seeing the things for you to believe that God will. Perhaps God comes to you and tells you, my son, I, the Lord, will do this for you. You don't need to see it first before you believe that thing is going to happen. Now, Jesus was actually limited by these people. Not that he was limited by himself. He was limited by their unbelief. The unbelief of a man can actually limit God. The unbelief of a man can actually limit God in walking in the life of that man. If there are promises God has released over you and to you rather, you follow him in faith, believing that he's able to do it. Why did Abraham decide to sacrifice Isaac? Have you asked yourself that question? A child he has waited for how many years till he got old. Why did Abraham go with Isaac to the mountain and decide to sacrifice Isaac? I will not tell you where it is in Hebrew, but you just study and find it out in Hebrews 11. Abraham actually believed that God was going to resurrect Isaac after he killed Isaac. You know with me? He took Isaac to the altar, carried knife, said, Lord, at your word I will sacrifice my son. He was ready to sacrifice him there on the altar. What was behind that drive? What was behind it was faith in the resurrection power. He believed that that boy is his only son, and God has promised him that he will be the father of all nations and of many nations. And God has also told him that this one that is called Ishmael that came through Hagar is not the heir of the promise. You know, it is not all children of Abraham that are heirs of the promise. You don't understand? Somebody say, I'm a heir of Abraham. Somebody say, I'm a child of Abraham, therefore I'm a heir of promise. It's not true. It's not every child of Abraham that is the heir of promise. If you read Galatians 5, you will understand. Galatians 4 and 5. It's not every heir of Abraham that is a heir to the promise. In Abraham, you find Ishmael. Abraham married another woman called Keturah. Keturah gave birth to different sons again. All those sons that were connected to him, that he came from the loins of Abraham, they were from Abraham, but they didn't have access to the promise. Those that are liable or permitted to have access to the promise are those that are from the loins of Isaac. So, the promise came from the line of Isaac. You see, as I'm talking, some of you are too far. If I'm looking at your faces, you are too far. If I'm looking at some faces, you are too far. So, why couldn't Jesus do many mighty works? The answer is because these people were limited in their mind. They were filled with unbelief. And because of that, that was a restriction on Jesus. Do you remember that for all the miracles of Jesus, wherever he goes, there is something he asks them first. Do you remember what he asked them? Can somebody tell me? Not you or my wife. Not you. Huh? Do you believe? Yes. Before Jesus heals, he will take permission from me before he heals you. He won't come and just heal the person. He takes permission. Oh God. God is a God that knows the pathway of honor. You're not with me? Because of his understanding and his keeping the protocol of honor, that is why till today he still leaves man what they call free will. That's why man is not a robot. Man has free will to serve or to slap God in the face. You know you can slap God in the face. Eh? I've not shown you from scripture how you can slap God. Huh? There's a place I will take you through Hebrews chapter 10. Then you see how to slap God in case you want to slap God. In Hebrews chapter 10. God allows you privilege to either serve him or slap him. That is still the same privilege he allowed Adam and Eve in the garden. And told them you can eat this but don't eat it. He allows man privilege. Many people say angels have been robots, but we have studied that in theology, but we found out that is a wrong theology. A wrong theology. Matter of fact, yesterday somebody was still asking me that question. That angels are robots. That's a wrong theology. Angels were not created robots. Angels have free will. If you read the book of Jude, you will see that the angels that kept not their first estate has he reserved in everlasting chains until the day of judgment in the book of Jude. If angels had free, if they didn't have free will, if they were like robots, how would they not desire to rebel God? They have a mind of their own, but they are subject to serve God. So if you don't serve me, you go away. So one third of the angels left with Lucifer because they have free will. How much more man that is created in the image and likeness of God? Man has free will. So in that your free will, you can either accept or shut the door on the Christ. That's why he said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, he didn't say he's breaking the door. He's not breaking the door to enter. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears me, when a thief comes, a thief will not even knock. A thief will come to just break the door and enter. But Jesus is knocking. So in every situation of your life, the Lord desires an invitation. The heavens, even the heavens of the heavens is the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So he allows us privilege of inviting him. So when Jesus was to heal any, he will ask them, do you believe? They will say, I believe. And a particular man knew in him that he was struggling with unbelief. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He needed the miracle desperately. He said, Lord, I believe you, but in case I don't believe enough, help my unbelief. And Jesus did the miracle the man sought. But in his hometown, there was no volume of faith at all, so he couldn't do anything. So in his hometown, it could have been said that Jesus is not truly anointed. But was he not anointed? Lord. But their unbelief limited him. Now, to strike a balance in the first statement I made, whatever you believe Jesus for, he can come true for you. From the rankings of the spiritual to that of the physical, whether in any sphere, whether academic, whether business, whether political, Jesus can come true to any sphere for you based on what invitation. Are you following? Now, the marriage that Jesus came for, in that marriage, what happened to them? Their wine finished, right? Right? The wine finished. So, did Jesus just come and say, I'm the miracle worker in town? I'm going to change your water to wine. Did Jesus start announcing? No. He took his mother to know that this man is a miracle worker. He called him, said, please, the wine is finished. Jesus even said, woman, what have I to do? My time has not come. No, no, no. And the Bible did not tell us one or two punchlines Mary gave to him that made him succumb. You know, there are some punchlines you can give to God that can make him succumb, even where others were trying to, and he did not agree. You're not with me. One, two people can be asking for the same thing, and God will give one based on his fraternity with him. How to fraternize with him. Imagine God coming to deal with Abraham and asking him, I want to destroy Sodom. How far? Should I destroy it now? I want to destroy Sodom right now. And he said to him, don't destroy it. Who is praying? Don't destroy me. Amen. Amen. We need the spirit of faith to be able to receive from the Lord. We need faith. Now, our text there is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved. Look at scriptures. Do you know one thing I realize? I realize that a majority of young believers today, a majority of believers today are running away from the New Testament. The majority of believers are running away from the New Testament. They prefer the Old Testament. But we need to learn to stay with the New Testament. There are mysteries there that you won't get anywhere else. That's by the way. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Apart from the place of miracles, how is a man saved? Can you tell me the technology that bets our salvation? Huh? Aha, let's do practicals now. Stand up, carry that mic. Tell me, how do you know that you are saved? Give him that mic. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, none of works. It is the gift of God. So can you tell us how you know that you are saved?
Praise God.
Feel free.
The Bible said, with the heart man believeth, and confession is made through the mouth. Now, when,
where did the Bible say that? Scriptures.
In the book of Mark.
Okay, chapter. That's not accurate, but continue. Romans 10:10. Continue.
Romans 10:10, yeah.
Okay.
So when,
use the mic,
when the word came to me, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Okay.
When the word of God came to me, it struck my heart.
It struck your heart.
That made me to believe.
That made you to believe
that Jesus,
so believe that Jesus is what?
Is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
He died and resurrected.
Okay. How did Jesus ascend to Lordship?
How he ascended to Lordship.
What made him Lord?
It was after the resurrection. So it was after the resurrection that he attained the office of the Christ. So, excuse me.
He said after the resurrection he attained the office of the Christ. Okay. I love scripture, man. Calm down. Can you explain that? Is it after the resurrection that you attained the office of Lord, or that you attained the office of Christ after the resurrection? Can you tell me? Jeffrey.
It was after the resurrection.
You are not hearing me. You're not hearing my question. You said after the resurrection, you attained the office of the Christ. I'm now asking you, is it that after the resurrection, he attained the office of Lord or he attained the office of Christ?
He was Lord.
Okay.
So, he was Lord in the beginning, right from the beginning.
Okay.
So, then, from the Christ, the office of the Christ was after the resurrection.
Okay.
That he got to that place.
How did he attain the office of the Christ after the resurrection? Now, what is the meaning of the Christ? And who is the Christ?
Praise God.
It's not a laughing matter. No. What is the Christhood all about? Who is the Christ?
Let me use the word priest.
Priest.
Someone that intercedes.
Someone that intercedes.
On behalf of.
Okay, what is the meaning of Christ? Are we together? I want us to pick something. What is the meaning of Christ?
The meaning of Christ.
Yes. Who can bring him? Amen. I sit down. Let's do some lectures. Sit down. The Christ is the one that English calls. Christ is for the English. Hamashiach is for the Hebrew. Are you hearing me? Christos is for the Latin. Are you hearing me? When you hear of that Hamashiach, Christ, Christos, they all means the Messiah, the deliverer. Get me? The anointed one. It was when he entered the temple in Luke chapter 4, they gave him the book, the scroll, and he began to read from the Torah. And he began to read, now that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captive, to open the eyes of the blind. He, as he was reading those things, the eyes of all that were around him opened. Jesus, in reading that scripture, found his destiny. Are you getting me? I'm coming to that discussion we are doing now. As the Christ, he entered into hell. Immediately he died, he didn't go to any heaven immediately. He first descended into hell, spoiled principalities and powers. When I mean spoiled, he took the loot from them that they took from creation. That's why today, Satan's house is still Jesus that has the key. In Revelation 1, you will see when he told John, I'm the one that has the key of hell and death. Jesus has the key to Satan's location. So hell, Satan does not have the key. It's Jesus that has the key. He descended into hell as the deliverer, as the Christ. Get me, oh. Are you hearing me? Did you hear how Peter said he set captives free? Did you see, oh Jesus? Did you see that many were released from the prison, from the prison house? I wouldn't go into that one now. He released many as the anointed one of God, as the Messiah, as the deliverer. Are you hearing me? Even when he was born, they were calling him. You know, he was originally called Yahshua. That's the Hebrew name he was born with. Then English translates to Jesus. The English Jesus was, they started using it in the 12th century. But when he was born, just like my native name is Obinna, that's the name they have been calling me. And then 12,000 years later, some people now start calling me a name that is translated to that my, I don't know if some of you are following me at all. So he was called Yeshua. Then, Yeshua HaMashiach, that is the anointed one of God, the deliverer. At some times, the disciples could call him in Greek, Kurios, the Lord. Are you getting me? Sometimes they could call him Rabbi in Hebrew, which means teacher. Called him different in but in that victory of the cross, he fulfilled the assignment of the Christ. And then, In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9, a coronation took place. Where Paul was writing to the church in Philippi and saying to them, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said of him, that wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, listening, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the coronation. If you are spiritual, you understand what I just said now. From Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, you see that coronation into that lordship. So I don't know any way you receive that lecture. It's a good lecture too, but I'm trying to give you the one with accurate balance. Are you getting me? From the resurrection, dated that lordship. So a decree was given throughout time and eternity that everybody should confess that Jesus is Lord, because he has won that victory. Are you hearing me? Are we together? So every knee should confess that Jesus, not that Jesus is Christ, but that Jesus is Lord. If you're here on Sunday, I was giving a teaching and I told us here that I met an atheist and I said, do you know that Jesus is Lord? He said, yes. I said, but do you know that Jesus is Lord of Lord? He said, no. But that coronation is to make Jesus Lord over all, that Jesus is Lord over all. That's the governor, the supreme, the overall. And that's the same thing the Lumba Lumba is trying to challenge. How many of you know Lumba Lumba here? If you go to their listing, you will see O-O-O-O, the supreme ruler of the universe. That guy has a bad boy. Has a bad boy. He died, the original founder died. Then the children came to cover up. He said he's God. His son, his first son is Jesus. One of the daughters is Holy Spirit. How many of you have? How many of you stay in Calabar here? You won't understand the impact until you go to Calabar. Olumba, Olumba, Olumba. Before you become a member, oh my God. You know, I told us that a major percentage of Christians are not spiritual. If you know the cooking they go through before you become a member, you understand the game of spiritual things. It's just we that are not cognizant of. It's just me that you can come out from your ninth club and come for service, and you still go to the club and do your disco. It's just you that is doing here and there, because you've not known the enterprise that is upon us. Let me not run away from my message. Faith. Without faith, Jesus, that is, in his almightiness, will be limited to do much in your life. He will just be limited. So I was asking a question concerning your salvation. In your divine salvation, you need faith for you to actually be saved. And I asked you a question. How do you know that you are saved? And you gave the accurate scripture. Romans 10:10, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's because you have believed, you are counted righteous. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him righteousness. That he believed God. You see, apart from this outward thing we are doing that looks good, eh? Make sure you truly believe God in your heart. I was saying here that one guy came to me one day. I said, see, this Bible thing we are doing, I'm not really sure of this thing. That this Abraham didn't really exist. Eh? Adam and Eve, all those movie story. Talking to somebody that we used to go and preach together. Say, come on, let's talk this. Another one said, the Jesus really, this thing, let's talk. Somebody told me that should I say Jesus is coming again? He come back again and he'll kill him. He said, If Jesus returns the cage, I don't go kill her. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Forget my laugh. Do you actually believe in your heart? If you have not believed this thing we are doing in your heart, you are not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere. You are far from the commonwealth of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You first believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the grave. You see, it's our generation that does not know the message of the resurrection. Oh, Jesus. There is the resurrection and there is his resurrection. These are two different things. There is the resurrection, there is his resurrection. All of us are going to witness the resurrection. Every man, both your ancestors that have died without Christ, every man will witness the resurrection. His resurrection is the token to prove that there is going to be a resurrection. And if you journey through Matthew 5, you will see that all men will be resurrected. Some unto life, and some unto condemnation. Even Daniel saw this thing in Daniel chapter 12. You don't read that. Daniel even talked about this thing. That some will be raised to life, while some to eternal condemnation. So there is his resurrection and there is the resurrection. The resurrection is going to come soon. And this matter concerning resurrection, you see, today we talk so much about apostolic. Everybody's an apostle. Fine. I don't feel bad when I hear almost everybody answering apostle. I love it. As long as a true apostolic generation is rising. But let's understand what the apostolic truly entails. What is the apostolic? What was the requisite for the apostolic? What was the mark of an apostle? What is the mark of an apostle? And they said, the master has been taken over. He has gone. We have even seen him ascend to glory. An angel has came to us and said, oh, men and brethren, why look you up for this same Jesus whom you have seen? In the same way he has gone, so he will come at the same Mount Olive. He's going to descend. Zechariah 14 talked about it. But these people now sat down after over 120 of them prayed. The upper room, Mary followed them and prayed. Even Mary needed faith to receive Jesus. She followed and prayed in the Holy Ghost. For some people, they don't know that Mary prayed in the Holy Ghost. And Mary also needed Jesus to be saved. The matter that she gave birth to him is not enough. Joseph, now you be Jesus' papa. If you don't receive Jesus, you go to hell. After Jesus left, do you know that his brethren did not believe in him? Some of his brothers now became his disciples after he has gone. But while he was there, they didn't believe. Rabboni, look, your brothers are here. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? It is the people that do my work. It's not the game of flesh. That's why I said, even if the blood of Jesus splashed on you, physical blood, you can still go to hell fire. You know why Jesus died on the cross? You see those people that he pierced him and his blood splashed on them. Many of them will still go to hell fire, but the blood of Jesus touched them. You are still fine. What is that blood that saves actually? It is not the thing. This thing is not after flesh. It's not something that you can touch. That is spiritual. It's not a physical blood. It's a physical blood. It's not that physical blood. It's the spiritual blood, brother. There's something I was saying. Johnny. Okay. The disciples gathered and they said, men and brethren, now that our master is gone, we are 12. That is 12 in the front line. And one is gone. And they said, Judas, who betrayed our master and bought the field with that money, which is called the field of Akedema, the field of blood. He said, now choose we amongst us one who is a witness, who has first of all walked with the Lord and who is a witness of his resurrection. It's here you will see the criteria for the apostleship. Who is a witness of his resurrection? So they had to choose, and the lot fell on Matthias, because he was also a witness of the resurrection of the Christ. So, what is the apostles' doctrine? If you journey, all the theology you have learned, anything you want to talk, you will find that the apostolic doctrine is actually the message of the resurrection. If you come and tell me another thing, then you'll find out that you will not make reference to up to two scriptures. Faith in the resurrection. I don't know how many of us have faith hitherto in the resurrection. I talk so many things about this resurrection. Let's just see Acts chapter 1. Let me just show you one thing. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 from verse 17 down. Just journey with me. This is interesting. Acts chapter 1 from verse 16 down. Men and brethren, this scripture among these will be fulfilled. Which the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas, which was kind to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and has obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Where are we reading now? 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akedema. That is to say, the field of God's blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Your habitation will not be desolate in Jesus' name. Oh, you didn't say that amen like you believe. Your habitation will not be desolate in Jesus' name. You know, men lose their habitation in God. Men lose it. It can be lost. All these guys that tell you that salvation cannot be lost, they are built in doctrine. They are not journeying through scriptures. Because I will not show you one scripture. I can show you 200 places from the New Testament. How that you can lose your salvation. I will show you no less than 200 places. This man walked with Jesus. Look at this 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another man take. May you not lose your ordination in God. There are many people that their bishopric can be taken. That what God originally prepared for them, because of inconsistencies, because of here and there, because of hither and thither, because they are like the wave, because they can easily be tossed to and fro, God will no longer be able to trust them and commit it to another man. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Wherefore, 21, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and amongst us. Are you seeing confirmation of that thing I said? Number one requisite, someone that has walked with us all the time Jesus was with us. Look at 2, verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must well be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So, the apostle is a witness of the resurrection. He comes to bear witness. We are actually sent to be witnesses. You know, you hear some message, you hear, we are witnesses, but you're just excited in the flesh, after the other flesh, not understanding the fabrics of that statement. Not knowing the depth of that statement. We are witnesses of his resurrection. To be a witness. To let men know that one that died, that the entire Jerusalem head is died. He has risen. There's no more in that grave. to go and bear witness. Must one be ordained a witness of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was running Justice and Matthias. Are you saying? Now look at 25. That he may take part of this ministry and what apostleship. Are you seeing that? Which Judas by translation fell, that he might go to his own place. And they came for their lots, and the Lord fell on Paul Matthias, and he was numbered among the 11 apostles. Now, this thing they did was, that election, that selection they did was actually not by the Holy Ghost. They did it by casting lots. In ancient, even till today, the Jews, they cast lots. And when they cast lots, it works for them. So the Lord fell on Matthias. After here, you will never hear of Matthias again. Till the book of Revelation finish. Not even Paul made reference to Matthias. They casted lots as Jews. Then the Holy Ghost had not come. What I mean, the Holy Ghost had not come. Pentecost has not happened. Okay. If Pentecost had happened, they wouldn't have needed to cast lots. They would have had the Holy Ghost. They needed to cast lots. You know, they are spoken and say, God, oh God, look at this coin, front and back. If I will go, let the front show. If I should not go, let the back show. You not throw it. You are just deceiving us. You want to do that and give your deed, then he threw that. You will just be deceiving yourself. God is not there. God is not there. Matthias that they appointed. Did you hear one miracle Matthias did? Did you hear one letter he wrote? Did you hear anybody make it a first thing? It was because it was in the flesh. If Holy Ghost had come, Holy Ghost would have told them, wait, a man is coming. And he would have showed them Paul. But they were blind. Paul was actually the 12th disciple. Matthias was selected as the number 12 after the order of flesh. So even if man selects, God will still render invalid and still pick his own. So if they had listened to the Holy Ghost, they would have voted and it wouldn't have been, Paul would have come to fit him. You know, in heaven, there are 12 gates of the new Jerusalem. The Zion that is above that will descend to this realm. Are we together? When it descends, there will be 12 gates. Named after the foundation apostles. They call them the foundational apostles. The 12. And the 12th guy you see there is Paul, the rugged apostle. It's Paul you will see there. They went to put Matthias, which God was not even aware of what they were doing. They're going to throw dice, be wasting their time. So, you see, that's to show that your election and your donation is not a thing of man. Man can do his own, but when God picks, he has picked. So, if they had voted, they would have known that a man was to come, which is Paul. So, back to my message. Without faith, the spirit of miracles, the spirit of grace, the spirit of the Lord will be limited to do much with your life. Ephesians 2 verse 8. I'm not going to what is faith according to scriptures now, according to our outline. I'll go to it next week. But look at that verse 8 of Ephesians 2. For by grace, it is by grace you are saved through faith. So when grace has appeared, if you don't have faith, it's useless. You need faith to be delivered. You need faith to actually be saved. So the first question and the only question the Lord will be asking tonight is, do you really have faith in Him? Do you really have faith in Him? Hitherto, have you had faith in the Christ? Do you have faith? That's the question. Do you have faith? Where is your faith? Where is the location of your faith? Hebrews 12, 4 and 2. It said, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we are not looking at bishop now. We are not looking at general overseers. They are not looking at anything that they are doing in the church today. Looking unto Jesus, you can be following a man, but there is only your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that begins it and he's the one that's going to end it. So how dare you on that day say, Lord, it is a man that made me not to serve you. You are not looking at him. You go to him one day and say, Lord, it was a man that made me not to see you. You are on your own. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. Then the scripture went ahead to say, who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross. You see, everything Jesus was going through. Oh my God. Let me tell you how that Jesus was like us. Knew that he was going to die on the cross at Gethsemane. He said to the Father, Father, let this cup pass me by. Father, let this cup pass me by. Because he saw he could not bear it. But later he came back again and said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, that first prayer he prayed is to show you his humanity. He was fully Son of Man and fully Son of God. But that was humanity in him playing. So don't assume that those strokes were going to flood, he was not going to feel it because he's God. No. He dropped the issue. He dropped it. He was going to feel the pain. You know, when they came to arrest him, the people came. That was the first place in the New Testament that we saw that somebody fell under power. Do you know they could not arrest him? They came to him. The anointing carried them 2 times. And they asked them, who is seek you? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. As they wanted to pick him, the power took them. They kept using scriptures. And he asked them, whom seek you? Until he now gave himself. He actually released himself. If he didn't release himself, they couldn't have been able to kill him. You've not seen a place in New Testament that they carried Jesus, carried him to the cleft. They wanted to throw him from a high building. They carried him as they reached there. They wanted to throw him. The person they wanted to throw walked amongst them and passed. They were confused. They didn't know what happened. It's like time was suspended. All of you carry one person now. We will carry this man now. Carry him. We are about to throw him as we reach the cliff. The next thing he turned, walked gently past. And the guys didn't know what happened. So, from that point they carried him. It was that he allowed them to carry him. He just wanted to give them a sign. That the day you kill me is because I allowed it. It's not because you have the power. He even said to them that you don't have this power. It's my Father that just gave it to you. He said if he wished, he would have released a legion of angels. So, but he gave himself. He gave himself to be crucified. He gave himself. He gave himself. So by grace we are saved through faith. Through faith in the person of the Christ. No matter the faith you have, if the faith is not in the Christ, the faith is useless. Faith in Buddha will not deliver. Faith in Tafari Makunen. You know what they call Tafari Makunen? I used to worship that guy in those days. I used to worship him. That is Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. These people they call Rastas, Rastafaras. You know his name? The man's name is Tafari Makunen. So, in Ethiopia, Ras is a title for chief. So, he is Rastafari Makunen. So, a religion came out of him. And they called him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Oh my God, I erred. So, I used to have faith in the guy. Many years ago as a Rasta. You can have faith in anything. But the faith that saves is actually the faith in the person of Christ. You know, some people have not seen the Christ. Some people have not faith in. They still have faith in their papa. There are some people that even if demons come, the only name they know is their papa's name or the name of their denomination. They will call the God of my papa. Where are you? not really know the type of God the Papa even worships. Whether is the God of Babylon. So you need faith in Christ to be saved. You need faith in Christ to be saved. Now, the first statement I made when I began here, I said that you don't need Jesus to make money. Didn't I say that? The meaning of that statement is that even without Jesus, you can make your money. Even without Jesus, you can live a comfortable life on earth. But it is on the other side, Jordan, where you will know that you needed him here. Are we together? Okay. So that will make you know that you're coming to church first of all. It's not because you without Jesus, you can marry a rich husband, though. You don't understand? There's some people that come to church because they need Jesus to give them a rich husband. That's why they are in church. That's why they join the department. Then when the husband comes, they run away. There's some people that are in church that once that miracle they have been waiting for comes, because they see Jesus as a means to an end. So when that end comes, they run away from the means. And you see? So that's why I told you that the first 20th, if you are in the kingdom of God to make money, you don't need Christianity to make money. First 20th richest people on earth, they are not Christians. Sir, they are not Christians by reality. Hello? Now, but in striking a balance, the same Jesus can give you money. Are you hearing me? You don't understand the balance I'm bringing. Eh? Without him, you can make money. Eh? In him, he can give you that money too. So, because many people have been asking questions and say, man of God, what about all these people that don't tithe? This one that they say tithe did this. Well, what about these billionaires on earth? Do they know what they call tithe? Why are they rich? And some of the men of God don't have answer to that question. They just want to spiritualize it. Are you seeing? Now, but in the kingdom, there is an order. There is an order. There are things you do in the kingdom as a mark of reference, as a mark of love, and as a mark of support for the kingdom. Not that if you don't do that thing, you will die poor. No. That's not it. That's overzealousness from the faith preacher. That house rent you have not paid. You can meet Jesus, and Jesus can help you to pay it. If you have faith in him that he can help you to pay that rent, he can help you. If you have faith in Jesus that he can help you to win a contract, he can help you, because he's also interested in your welfare. If he's not interested in your welfare, he wouldn't have come to that wedding at Cana and do that miracle for them to have their wine. You see, it also shows that he's even interested in your marriage. I see. The whole busy Jesus came for a wedding. Ah! You know, some men would have said, I mean, this thing is Cana now. Abba, how will I come for a Cana till a wedding? Eh? A whole Lord of the universe come for a wedding. No. Jesus can come for your wedding. You know, Jesus came for my wedding. Eh? I said, Jesus came for my wedding. 2-3 days in my wedding, I didn't have transport from Abuja to the east. I didn't have transport. 3 days to my wedding. I didn't have transport. Not to talk of bride price. Bride price was there. I'm not talking of bride price. I didn't have transport from Abuja to the east. Three days to my wedding. Bride price was there. What to serve the people was there. Other bills running into hundreds of thousands and 1 point something to 2 point something, I didn't have the money. But I just had faith. That was what I had. My sister and them in church in Abuja will call me, man of God, what is happening? 3 days, what is happening? Say, relax. The one I'm serving will not fail. I was not troubling myself. My wife, all her family members had traveled to the east. Only I was still in Lagos. She was giving them excuses, but the truth was that she didn't have money, because as she was working, the salary they were paying her, she was using it. Her wedding gown. I told her we are not renting anything, we are buying everything. Her wedding gown, she bought it. Somebody bought it from Poland. She bought the wedding gown, bought everything with her own money. So most of the thing, as she was buying it, their family was thinking I was going to send me the money. My wife was the one paying for it. I had even collected even her own savings. So she didn't have transport to leave Lagos. 3 days. Child. But the man was not moved. The man in me was not moved. I was just there. I was believing that the Lord will not fail. Faith is the substance of things, hope for evidence of things not seen. I have not seen, but I just believe the man. Do you know that my traditional wedding was to be on Saturday? It was on Thursday that the Lord came. That Thursday was to be my Bible study then in Abuja. Thursday morning. Somebody from Southern Africa sent me about 600 and something thousand. 600 and something thousand entered my account. The same day, the same Thursday, another person sent me 11,400 and something dollars. Then it was about 4 something million. Now it's like 6 point something million. The same Thursday. And then I went to church, finished my Bible study. And from that anointing, oh God, the visitation of God can bring a new anointing. That I received a new anointing and I preached a message called No Weapon. Go and listen to that message. It's on www.gatsamos.com. The message was too anointed that I've not received, oh Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Ghost that day. Because the faith I had, I paid. That under one day, my account received over 5 million for the first time in my life. Jesus. And then I came back to the east in the spirit of the Lord. You know, the Bible said Jesus was led by the spirit of the wilderness. Then he came out of that wilderness in the spirit of the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh my God. I came back to the east in power. I say, is this not this wedding that the devil said is going to frustrate me? Saturday we went for the bridal price. Everything paid, I was just paid. But the only thing I refused to pay is anything that has to do with alcohol, I will not pay. I stood my ground. No, that they I stood my ground. Anything alcohol, I'm not paying. Any other thing, I paid and paid. We finished my wedding. We had a drum of drink remaining. Almost a full drum. Went back to Abuja, still laid it in pockets. But that was the same guy that 3 days to the wedding didn't have anything. And I wasn't saying, Lord, you have provoked me, I've dropped my Bible. You don't know those people. Eh? You don't know those people. But I say, Lord, I've waited, he did not come, I'll drop my Bible, don't worry. Some people have fasted and the Holy Ghost did not come. What they're waiting for did not come. They say, Lord, I drop this Bible. I go back to Babylon. I'm going back to Egypt, for I was born in Egypt. You know when Elimelech went down, and when Abraham went down to, you know, in scripture, anybody that goes down to Egypt, find out what happens to that person. And you know, entering Egypt is very easy. But the problem is coming out. Children of Israel, they enter the comfort, they were only singing him and entering Egypt. Come and come out. You know a man called Pharaoh. You will never know that Pharaoh exists when you enter Egypt until you want to come out. You know the lesson there. There are some things that when you start is easy. Some things that are wrong. Come and break. You know, when you began to masturbate, it was very easy. Oh, Jesus. Somebody who said me, some man of God, say his own masturbation, is he almost 20 years or so? He said he has been crying. He prayed and fast, what is this? But when he began it was easy. And then his spirit takes possession of the man. That's you that says, I will not let you go. And God even confessed and said, see Pharaoh, I know that Pharaoh will not let you go except by a mighty hand. God was releasing his finger, Pharaoh refused. And God now released mighty hand. You know, there's even Mr. Mighty and a finger. So there are some things you better not start. There are some relationships you better not start. I know some girls that will cry and say, oh man of God. Say she's dying of fornication. She has cried. She does not know what is always connecting she and that boy. But every time. But when they started, it was easy. So you better not enter Egypt at all. Because to come at, you know how much prayer and fasting you need. You know how much sign. You know, Pharaoh will not let you go until you see signs and wonders. And Pharaoh also does his own miracles to compete. And the Lord grant us understanding. We are behind time. Let's rise up on our feet. Just ask the Lord to grant you the spirit of faith. Can you tell the Lord that you are faithless? You are faithless. Can you confess to God that you are faithless? This guy was humble enough to say, Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief. Can you confess to God that you still have unbelief? Can you tell him that you still have unbelief? Say, Jesus, I still have unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You see why you don't pray for faith? It's because the day of adversity has not come. If the day of adversity visits you, you will know how much faith you need. Many men, because they lack faith, in the day of adversity, they have succumbed to that old dragon. Can you tell God that you lack faith? Confess to him how much you lack faith. Tell him how empty of faith you are. How empty of faith you are. Ask him to help you. Say, Lord, I need faith to work with you. Faith, the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Some of you are not crying for faith. You are not crying for faith. I call Pepe Papa. Jesus. Jesus! Hey! Yeah! Yeah! Cry out for faith, the spirit of faith. Tonight, if you have not touched the spirit of faith, if you have not touched the spirit of faith this night, don't stop. Don't stop tonight until you touch the spirit of faith. For the men of old that walk with God, they needed faith to walk with him. For the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, Jesus, I cry for one thing, for the spirit of faith. Don't stop until you touch the spirit of faith. Can you press tonight? Listen to him. Can you see how much of an unbeliever you are?
Many people are called believers, but they are truly unbelievers. A believer is a man that believes in God. An unbeliever is a man that does not believe in God. Many of us are believing unbelievers. Unbelieving believers.
Say, Lord, help me with the spirit of hope tonight. Help me with the spirit of hope. Help me to trust in you. Help me to love you.
Chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
As he said to the Father, the child cried out and said, yes, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Can you go to the Lord that says,
say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Ekete papa pato patos. Eka papa patoa. Aika mpete papo nepeta. I believe, but help my unbelief. Say, Lord, I thought I unbelief tonight. And my spirit is approaching you. Help me to approach you, O God. Pray it in everything you will. Help me to approach you.
Touch the spirit of faith this night, then you are wasted tonight. The spirit of faith. I cry for the spirit of faith. I cry for the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. I cry for the spirit of death, the spirit of death, the spirit of death. Can determine the level of your limitation. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Touch the spirit of faith tonight.
Touch the spirit of faith. Touch the spirit of faith. Touch the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith.
The man said, Lord, I believe, but perhaps I don't believe enough. Help that. Help my unbelief. Can I see you cry for help tonight? Can I see you cry for help tonight? Help tonight. It is in the day of adversity that we will know whether you truly have faith. For even the scripture says that when the Lord shall come, shall you find faith in the earth. Faith is not limited to the concept of materiality. Faith is spiritual. Faith is the ethereal. It cannot be seen nor touched. It cannot be felt by the mortal hands.
Level the Lord will be taking us to. We need great faith. There are levels of faith. There are dimensions of faith. There is small faith. There is great faith. I don't know the level and the dimension of faith you want to operate in. For the centurion believed Jesus, and Jesus said, "Oh, I have not seen so great faith in Israel." Can Jesus speak of you as a man or as a woman that has great faith in Him? Say, "Lord, help me to have great faith in You. Help me to have great faith in You. Help me to have great faith in You." Faith in the ordination of God for you. Faith in His provision power. Faith in the one that provides. Kapetuna kaka. Don't look at the person by your side. But can you turn in with the spirit of grace? Ask Him to give you faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. Without faith you cannot even be saved. Without faith your salvation has no token.
Help me to have faith. Help me to have faith. Help me to have faith. Faith in You. Faith in You.
Is your faith a living faith? Perhaps your faith is a dead one. Say, "Lord, I cry for a living faith, a lively faith. Vivify, vivify, Holy Ghost, vivify my faith in You."
Help me to have faith. Help me to have faith in You. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
We are raising now is a cry that many did not raise, and in the day of adversity they knew that they were empty. The Bible said if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That is to say your faith is small. You need great faith. What you have now cannot sustain you. That which you carry now cannot carry you to the level God wants to take you. When
the angel told Elijah to eat.
But the journey is fine. Elijah thought it was a joke. Elijah did not eat enough. And it didn't take long. Jezebel came to Elijah. And Elijah looked at God in the face and said, am I better than my fathers? And as Elijah expressed a little faith, that was the end of his ministry. And God took Elijah. Not that Elijah fulfilled to the limit of what God wanted. And God dropped that mantle on Elijah.
Help me to have hope. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me.
Can you be poor in spirit now? Let's not be poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Let's not be poor in spirit. Let's not be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means that you are empty. In your soul, you come to God empty. You are broken. You are humble in the spirit of your mind. Not that you assume that you have all things. The Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, you think you are rich, but you are poor. I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
Help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me.
In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. How many of you receive something this night? If you receive something, let me see your right hand up.
You see, that the message you just heard, you may think you have had it, but I'll counsel you to listen to the message again. The Bible says faith. See the technology for the emergence of faith. See how faith comes. Look up. See how faith comes. Faith does not happen by chance. Faith comes. But how does faith come? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. The Bible did not say faith cometh by hearing the word of God. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. You know, you can hear and yet you did not hear. You don't understand. When Jesus said, let him that have ears hear, does it mean that all those churches didn't have ears? Eh? You know, scripture says, once have you spoken and twice have I heard, that all power belongs to God. You see, anything that pertains to the spirit, to the spirit realm and to the spirit of God, you need to hear twice. Once have you spoken, twice have I heard. The first hearing does not give it. The first hearing is hearing in the flesh. And the next is the hearing of the spirit, by the spirit. It's that one that grasps the message. So Jesus said, let him that hear. Let him that hear. Let him that has ears do what? Hear. So let him that has spiritual ears. You need spiritual ears. So I believe you need to listen to this message again, because you need faith for where God is taking it. There are many people that did not receive enough measure of faith. It came to a level in their life that they said, God, I'm not you again. Stay back. Some young girls under pressure. In all their beauty, they attained 30 years. They said, oh God, I've waited for you from 20 years. Now that I'm not you again. Any Babylonian that comes, I will say yes. And that's how many girls have married the devil. You think you don't need faith? Wait. Tomorrow we'll find that. It's tomorrow we'll find that. Faith for where you are going to. Faith for your destiny. For fulfilling your assignment. In every ramification, even in the place of marriage, I just told the people how my wedding went. Apart from the wedding that I talked about, even in the place of finding a life partner, you need faith in God. In the place of the woman saying yes, she needs faith from God. In every dimension, you need faith from God. So how will it be if you don't have faith? Lift up your hands. I pray for everyone today that the spirit of faith will be imparted upon every one of us. The spirit of faith will be imparted upon every one of us. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says that whosoever cometh to him
must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't matter how handsome you are. It doesn't matter how committed you are in church. It doesn't matter how much you talk about Jesus. But without faith, without faith, without his ability to do. You see, concerning my tomorrow, I already have faith. I know the things God is going to do through me. So whatever I see, oh Jesus. I've set up a tent for a crusade in Abuja, a tent we are going to be having our meetings. Ask my wife then, I was not married. I set up that tent with not less than 3.5 million naira. 2018, we are to start our first meeting. 2 days to the crusade, people from that area in Kubwa, they called me and said, Pastor, the church is down. Oh my God. And I had somewhere to go and preach. In this day. Somebody, I was to minister by 4 p.m. By 3 p.m., the tent had fallen. 3.5 million, is it a change? The worth of that money now should be about 5 million. Because Naira has fallen. But I still went to preach by 4 p.m. as though nothing happened. And then I called the man of God. I said, man of God, do you know what happened to me? I said, I wouldn't have been here. He said, what happened? I said, man of God, my structure I put up just fell. He said, the man was sure. He said, and you had the mind to come here. He confessed that he would have been on the bed crying till now. I've received bruises in life. Before that structure fell, I had an encounter. An entity from the Niger rose up. She introduced herself. She called herself by her name. That she's the goddess of the Niger. That she would deal with me by the well wound. I called everybody around me and said, there is trouble. An entity came from the river Niger and told me that she would deal with me by the well wound. How will she call? I didn't know how she was to call. And now the people in that area in Kubwa, they say a kind of wind came. Oh, Jesus. They described the wind for me. That the wind carried the structure. This beside me was an Anglican church. By the back was the Anglican church. Here was a building, and that place building. That the wind came ferociously to use it and dispute. Something mysterious just made the structure just collapse by itself. It didn't fall on left, right, or back. It just dropped mysteriously. So I didn't have extra bills to pay anyone. And then the first meeting I was to not hire canopy. Oh Jesus. I'm talking of a tent we pulled that was the size of over 500. Mighty tents. That area I've not seen that type of tent before. And then I still continue preaching Jesus. I continue preaching. I've seen battles. I've seen bruises. But nothing has deterred me. It got to a level that when we started, I had seen overflow. Then I had seen time that I will come and preach to empty seats. I'll preach to like 10 people. And then God told me to come to this seat. And then I've come here. And then the things that I've captured in my spirit, I'm not stressing them. But I have already seen what God is about to do. I don't struggle, I don't compete. Because I know this. God has given me privilege to peep into the scroll of my destiny. I've seen what is to come out of this land. I've seen the role I'm to play. There are things I've seen that makes me walk with ease and without pressure. And so because of those invisible things I've seen, I have faith. Abraham captured something in his spirit that was what could make him decide to offer Isaac. What have you seen in the spirit? If you don't see enough, you won't be able to have faith. Jesus had faith to go and die on the cross because he knew that the Father was going to resurrect him. In Romans 8:11, he said that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the grave dwell in us, he that raised up Jesus shall also vitalize, speaking our mortal bodies. There's something Jesus saw before he agreed to go to the cross. Faith is not seen with the natural eyes. There's something you see with the invisible eyes. What have you seen? If you don't have that spiritual sight, first of all, you can't be tempted to have faith. We'll continue the journey tomorrow, next week. First. This subject of faith will continue next week. First. If you're blessed, say amen. I say, if you're blessed, say amen.
Amen.
We'll continue next week. First. Because of time, I'm sorry I've taken much of our time. Lord, we thank you for utterance. Thank you for the entrance of your word that brings understanding. Thank you because Jesus is glorified. Thank you because we'll be a generation of faith believers. In the name of Jesus. We'll not just have faith in the Jesus that can turn water to wine on the Jesus that can multiply bread. We have faith in the Jesus, the dispenser of Ahinos Zoe, the giver of eternal life. We will have faith in the one that rose again, that rose again from the dead, and is to return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and to establish the literal kingdom on the side. And we will reign with Thee as kings and priests unto our God during the millennial reign. We will return back with Thee in glory, and we will rule over provinces as princes. And then we will cry out, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is thy victory?" For Christian work has put on immortality. The mortal has been swallowed up by the immortal. And then we will cry out, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And we will put on that body that looks like, that is made of jasper, the body that is the same body Jesus rose with, the body that is like glass, the resurrection body. The promises we have in Christ, they are endless. They are endless. If you peep into the aeons to come, if you peep into the ages to come, you have enough reasons to serve God. May the Lord help us to be truly faith believers. In Jesus' name I pray. Have a seat in God's presence. Sorry for taking your time to this extent. Next week we'll close much earlier. I hope I'm forgiven. Alright. So next week we'll continue on our faith series. Next week we'll continue on our faith series. How many of you are going to be here next week? If perhaps you have a church you're committed to, fine. But you're also invited to always come for this Bible study. It will enrich you. Amen. And if you don't have a church where you worship, you can join us on Sundays. Amen. These are Bible studies, non-denominational. So I'd like you to, by the time you come for like a space of 6 months, I assure you, you become a believer that is rooted and grounded in the Spirit. And God will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Are you? I want you to stretch out your hand to the man of God and bless him. Bless him with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. In the package your tithe, your offering. Package your offering. Tomorrow is Friday, right? By 11 PM we are gathering here again for our prayer.
God through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking as numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.